Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. Coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast, director of the ministry, and delighted that you have taken the time to tune our way. We trust something that is said and done through the Word of God might speak to your heart, help you as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, I pray this is the hour, the moment, the day. You will come to know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that is ours to look into your word. And as we talk about being spiritual, genuinely spiritual, I pray that you'd help us that our eyes may be opened, our minds open to thy word, that we might see from thy word the principles that you want us to apply in our lives. And we're just going to give you the praise, the thanksgiving, and the honor because we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to Jesus. The joy I can't explain fills my heart since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He's teaching and I'm learning to lean.
I'm learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus.
Glorious victory each day now for me, since I found His peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now
That is a learning process, dear friend. You know, we're so self-sufficient in ourselves, our abilities, and many times we fail in the efforts that we make to even live for the Lord. because we're leaning on ourselves, not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's kind of where we're at today in this study. Now, you remember when we left you last week, we made mention of verse 19 and said that we're going to start here. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And I made the comment that I want you to just take a look at this chapter, the balance of it, and see that God is given to you and to me through the fullness of Christ, the ability to live for him, the ability to make the changes in our life by the power of the Lord. I'm not talking about our own strength. He has given us the ability to make the changes that we need to make in our lives. And I hope I can convey that to you. Again, let's look at the text that we'll start with. And we're talking about the Christ presents the fullness of himself to us. That is amazing to me. The fullness of God, God, the Godhead. We'll look at a number of scriptures that we believe will support that. But let's go to verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Now, we spent time talking about that. We'll not go back to that right now. Foundation of the ultimately the local church. But he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now notice, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now notice, he is the head of the body, the church. It is he who is in control of the church. And the sooner we in our local churches have that mindset, the better our churches are going to function for his glory. But the point is this: since Christ is the head of the church, that he might have the preeminence, as the scripture says here in verse 18, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that means he has the control of you and me, and he gives us the privilege of submitting to that control. You see, God doesn't get a buggy whip out and slap us into submission. I remember growing up as a kid, we had a neighbor, and boy, he took his son. We'd see him different times with the buggy whip and whoop his son, and I'll tell you, that had to hurt bad. He had no control of himself, the dad, to discipline. Now, my dad would not be afraid to use the belt or the razor strap, as I've many times said here. I might have been 21 before I realized the razor strap was for sharpening razors. No, I knew that long before that. But if I needed it, he gave it. And, you know, I knew that every time he did, oh, it hurt. And, you know, maybe I thought he was mean, but I knew he loved me. And he was trying to keep me in line. But he'd do that. It would be done in the house. It wasn't going to be done outside where everybody else could see. But you know what the Lord does? He deals with our hearts. He brings conviction to our hearts. But the point that I want you to get is this: the fullness of God is ours if we will allow him to do the work. Go back with me for a moment to Ephesians and chapter 4, just two books back. Ephesians and chapter 4. And notice what he says. Let's look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles. Now, this is how God works, to get that fullness of God in us so that we might understand his working. He doesn't yell out of heaven. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. See, he wants to work in us. He wants to develop us. So we have pastors and teachers, and we pastors have pastors. That's just how it is. Every one of us has someone that God is using to try to help us get in line. Sometimes we get out of line. Sometimes we get the idea, well, I'm the pastor or I'm the preacher. I know more than, well, maybe you don't. Maybe I don't. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You see, all of the development that God is doing in our lives is for that work of the ministry. Now, I don't mean being busy in going out every day, soul winning. That's a good thing to do. Or doing this and doing that and doing the other thing. That's not what the point is. The point is God is perfecting us so that we might do the work of the ministry. Now, whatever that aspect is, God has a plan for you, for me, for each one of his children. Now, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he goes on and says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, God has put all of the needs, all of our needs into the person of Jesus Christ. And as we allow him to develop that fullness in us through the preaching of the word, through the work of the ministry, through the edification of the saints. You see, when we think about the inspiration of the scriptures, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, that is the born again believer, may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then the purpose of all of this fullness of the Godhead in us, the fullness of Christ in us, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up. You see what he's trying to do? He is trying to help you and I grow up. Do you ever say that to your children? Why don't you grow up? Well, they are, one day at a time. And so, but we don't know that sometimes, I guess. I mean, yes, we've had six children, so we've watched six children grow up and thought they should have grew up, day one, so to speak. No, but very simply, he says that we may grow up into him in all things, which is a head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, the ultimate outcome or the ultimate goal that God has in your life and mine is that he wants to bring the fullness of Christ in and out of us. Yes, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it's not, we're not going to look at a separate entity. But there's one God manifested in three persons. Now, let's look at something else in this portion of Scripture. If you'll notice something, it's starting in verse 15. All the fullness of God is in Christ. And it's important that we see this. Then we're going to look at other verses of Scripture, too. I think we need to. There's so much being said here, and no way I can elaborate enough on this. Verse 16 says, for by him, that's Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, I want you to notice something. If all things were created by him and for him, that's you and me too. You have to understand, I need to understand this, that when he talks about all things were created, man was created by God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. So in the image of God created he man, not facially looking like God, because we don't know what God looks like, but that we have a spiritual capacity within us. We need to be born again. Once we're born again, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But here he says that Christ, that he created all things, that's us, along with the animals and all the rest of the things of this world. and they were created for him. Now, here is all the principalities, powers, and all that. Do you know something? All of those things were created for Christ to honor him. But when you read Ephesians chapter 6 and you talk about the armor of God, do you know what you read? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Let me turn you over there quickly. I wasn't planning on that, but, you know, that's okay. We'll go back here. Ephesians in chapter 6. I want you to look at something. In verse, let's go back to verse 10. Verse 12 is where we're going to go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. This idea of the battle that I'm in, I'm to fight it in the power of God's might, not my power. Elwood Fawn Miller doesn't have strength enough to come in out of the rain. It's God's power that is going to work in me and his might to help me come on through this battle in victory. And I can. We are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. You see, it's in Christ we have our victory. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, I made a little bit of a comment last week, and I'm going to build on that this week. And that is, now don't misunderstand me. I have the ability, through Christ, to change what is needed to be changed in my life. Now, you may question that, but I'm going to tell you something. He said we have all the fullness of the Godhead in us. So that means I have the ability. But notice what I'm supposed to do. Put on the whole armor of God. When you come into Colossians in chapter 3, and we'll not do that as part of this study, but in Colossians chapter 3, I'm to put off the things that are wrong, and I'm to put on the things that are real or that are right, that are good. It's sort of like having your clothes laid out on your bed. Here are dirty clothes that you lay there. I mean, you have them on, I should say it that way. You have the dirty clothes on, but here are the clean clothes. Now, how are you going to do it? You can stand there all day long and say, oh, God, take these clothes off of me and put those other ones on. And you can do that all day long. Guess what? You started at 8 o'clock this morning, and at 4 o'clock this afternoon, you still have your dirty clothes on. And your clean clothes are laying on the bed. Now, I would urge you to wash between there, but anyway, I have to do something. Now, God gives me the ability. God helps me to move my hands, loosen my belt, lift my leg and slide the trousers off, lift my leg and put the other trousers on, and the shirt and so forth. So I have a job to do. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I need to put it on. But here is the verse that comes to what we were just talking about, so far as the principalities and powers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. Now, is it not interesting that those were the things that were to be for God's glory? These were part of the all things that were created by him, those principalities and powers. And yet, when the devil fell and took hosts of angels with him, he became the prince and the power of the air, the spirit of wickedness that now works in the children of disobedience. You see, it was created for God, and one day it is going to again come back and bring the glory to God. You see, that's why when political leaders, and I don't think there's, you know, I'm not building on a political message, but that's why when political leaders seek to do things that are according to biblical principles, they get a nasty fight out of other political people. And they're called all kind of things because they're trying to bring God into this thing. Well, he's the one that should be brought into this thing. Well, let's listen to a song. We'll get back into this thought.
storm breaks, the stillness of the night. There is a safe place for all the lost and lonely to find shelter until the morning light. There is a haven for the weary soul to run to when you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame. There is a Savior and His open arms are waiting. And Jesus is His name.
There is a haven of comfort for God's children. You can find it when you speak His name in prayer. From all your care and labor,
there's a haven, and the Lord will meet you there.
There is a
haven for the weary soul to run to
when you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame.
Savior and His open arms are waiting. There is a haven and Jesus is His name.
There is a
haven for the weary soul to run to
when you're tired of all the guilt and all.
His open arms are waiting. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name.
There is a haven, Jesus is His name.
True that is, how true that is. Now turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now notice verse 9. "For in Him," Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you go over to verse 1 of chapter 3, we read, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Again, there is the responsibility of you and me to seek after, to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, we could go on and read that. That's a great portion of Scripture. But I want you to go back then also to chapter 3 of Ephesians. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. And look with me, if you will, at verses 18 and 19. Now, he's talking about that in verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, you see, we're talking about the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of God in Christ in your life, the ability that you need. the ability you need to love people. That's what he says in verse 18, the four dimensions of God's love. And then that you might have also the ability to see that change in your life that is needed. Again, it is the Lord doing it, not you inventing it how to change your life. Look at John 14 and verse 9, if you will, or think about it. You can write it down, where he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ. And as we by faith come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he empowers us with the ability to make those changes so we might glorify him. Now, that likens to what he says in Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he hath put all things under his feet, gave him, this is what God has done for his son, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church embodies everything about the Godhead, about God, and it's through Jesus Christ. That's why our churches, we need to be careful. We need to be careful about our ministry. The preaching of the word needs to be done according to the word of God, not some philosophy. The music needs to be in a way that will honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Our witnessing, our Sunday schools, and all the other aspects of our local church ought to be done in such a way that God would get all the glory and we'd just reap the benefits, because he'll sure give them to us. Let me ask you a question, dear friend. How's your spiritual life? Not just your evaluation, but in line with the word of God, are you allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to work in your heart and life? I pray you are. Hey, if we can be of spiritual help to you, would you allow us to do that? You can contact us at WOT@WOTBM.org. That's our website, and there it will give you other information about contacting us. Or you can contact us at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. We'd love to be a spiritual help to you. Father, bless and use your word to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.